wherever they could. And they did their own butchering, and so they put their, they had their own shortening then. Because they did their own butchering of pork, they had their own lard, and they took their wheat to the mill to get it ground into flour, so they had their own flour. And to make pies, it takes flour and lard and water. So this was a very inexpensive dessert to make. And of course, they did their own canning of fruits, and so they had their own foods to put, fun to put in the pie. And of course, corn pie is another Pennsylvania Dutch food that's very good. They have the pie shell on the bottom, and then fill it with corn, and put a pie shell on the top, and they serve this hot as part of the main meal. And to make pies, they didn't have definite recipes, but they could tell by the feel of it whether there was enough of each ingredient in. In the summertime, the housewife can go out to the garden to get her fresh vegetables for her meal, and they're really fresh. But in order to have them in the wintertime, she can't go to the store and buy them. This would cost too much money. And they want to save wherever they can and not spend quite so much money. And so they can their vegetables and their fruit. And it's a very nice way to show friendliness to a neighbor when they come in to invite them to stay for a meal. And this is often done among Pennsylvania Dutch people. If you want to ask directions while traveling, sometimes you get surprising answers. To go straight, if someone might tell you somewhere to go, you go straight down this road piece, but it's a little crooked and rough. Or maybe go straight up this road a ways and turn right square to the left. Right square to the left. You would really be confused, you see, because some of these words are so mixed that it's difficult to understand. Did you ever hear of the saying, "I'll be there with bells on"? Well, I'll tell you how this, where this arrived. Years ago, the covered wagons traveled from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh on Route 340. It was known as the Highway to the West in those early colonial days. The Philadelphia Pike for the travel from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. And those covered wagons are known as Conestoga wagons. They were built in this area. And they hauled freight. And they used six horses to make to haul the load, and it took them 20 days to make the trip from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. Sometimes the driver would walk beside the horse. And sometimes they got stuck in the mud, because the roads weren't built like they are today, and so it was difficult. And so if they got stuck in the mud so deeply that they had to get somebody else to help them out of the mud, the person that helped them was permitted to take the set of bells that was on top of the horse's hands. And so today we often say, "We'll be there with bells on," meaning that we don't expect to have any trouble while we're going, or we don't expect to have any trouble throughout the whole trip where somebody would have to take our bells. And so I wish to you today that as you travel here in this area and when you return home, that you'll be able to arrive with bells on. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions now? Yes.
What would happen if somebody bought a $500 bell?
Knowing that the person who would help them out of the mud would be able to take the bells, they wouldn't spend that much money for a bell.
Were the bells all about the same?
Yeah, the bells were all about the same size. They often had five bells across the
way.
How big will they?
Oh, are you going to Lannister?
Well, I don't know whether we'll be able to get there or not.
How big are they?
The bells?
Bells were about this size.
Weren't they little robots?
And then they were fastened onto a metal bar, and so it was about this long. I think there were five bells on a row. Yes?
I remember something with somebody at a real expensive stagecoach.
Well, they didn't have those kind. They had the Conestoga wagon was all built the same. Yeah. And if you don't get to see any on your trip, this time, perhaps you'll be able to see pictures in your history book of the covered wagons. And they didn't look to me like they were very expensive wagons.
Would you give us one of those dialect poems?
Okay.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Was there a certain person who would come and help them to pull the
money from us? Maybe somebody else that was traveling along the way. Maybe it was another covered wagon.
Abby, your
nobody special.
Your name is really Pennsylvania Dutch, isn't it? Gaiman? Because Gaiman. I see
yes,
on this,
there are a lot of Gaiman.
In this magazine here, a man that wrote this article about the Amish is Richard Gaiman.
That's my father.
Oh, I see. No wonder.
Yes.
That's a father.
Oh, keep it as a prize that he was the person who helped this man.
No, I know what happened. When he got somewhere, he carried the bell
sheet
that he got.
Well, now I'll recite a little poem for you. Mrs. Niddle gets the trolley on. Does this trolley go by Woodside Avenue, Mr. Motorman? Yes, ma'am. Step lively, please. But how will I know Ben comes your street up? Eh, how's that? How will I know Ben comes Woodside? You see, I'm a stranger yet from up Pennsylvania Dutch Bay near Lancaster, and I came to see my cousin Emmy once removed. And I just don't know. I'll tell you, lady, when we get there. Well, for what, Mr. Motorman? Well, why do you think I'm holding out my hand? Yes, well, I don't know. It wondered me. Fair, lady, fair. Yes, now it is, but it looks for rain. The paper von Schauer's. I don't mean F-A-I-R. I mean F-A-R-E. Money. 10 cents. Oh, yes, now, just 8 months till I shuffle my purse through.
So you what? Shuffle? Key, palm, a hanky yet, chewing gum, safety pins.
Look, lady, will you please find a dime so we can proceed with our trolley ride? Just hold up your horses, Bunce. I'm coming to it. I can hear Cousin Emmy's pickle lily recipe already. Look, you're not only holding up me, you're holding up all these passengers. Oh, well, I'm coming to it. Yep, here it is. Whew. Thanks, lady. For a while, you had me guessing. Yes, sir. Now I'll step me the trolley back to see if I can find me a seat, maybe. On account of my feet, I can't so good stand.
When they say what, they say what.
I'd like to ask you one question more. Do you find that sometimes the people who come here have very strange ideas of what the Pennsylvania Dutch are like? The reason I ask that is that I've come across this very often,
yes,
that they
yes.
that people have a very great misconceptions of what the Pennsylvania Dutch people are like.
Yes, this is very true. I find this every day.
Yeah. So that it's important to come and, you know, and see what life here is really like. Yes?
Well, I know it sounds pretty silly, but you know, we had this advertising on television
we have a lot of starchy foods, yes, and noodles would be among starchy foods. It's a typical Pennsylvania Dutch food, but then we have a large variety of foods. Chicken pot pie seems to be a specialty of Pennsylvania Dutch people, and that is made with noodles.
What's that? No.
Would you like one small poem yet?
I'd love to have, yeah.
The broken-hearted Deutscher, or Dutchman. I'm a broken-hearted Deutscher, what's filled me grief and shame. I tell you what my trouble is. I doesn't know my name. You think this very funny, eh? Wenn you hear story here, you will not wonder then so much. It was so strange and queer. My mother had two little twins. Davis, me and mine brother. They looked so very much alike, no one knew which one from the other. One of the boys was Jakob, and Hans, the other's name. But then it make no difference, they both got called the same. Well, one of their boys got dead. Ja, mein dear, dat is so. But whether Hans or Jakob, my mother, she don't know. And so I'm in troubles. I just can't get through my head whether I am Hans that's living or Jakob that is dead.
Well, I see a lot of sleepy faces in front of me. Thank you both very much, and thanks for the supper, and thanks for everything. Sit down, everybody. Sit down. Sit down. You did very little riching, and you read the table of all the food. Now, boys and girls, what I'm going to say now shouldn't.
We're all set. Let's go. Last stop before we get into New York. Next stop will be DCS.
How about the other people? Me, Captain.
The committee
one. The rest of the committee, please come forward. What is this region? What is this region you see ahead of you?
The plains. What is coastal plains?
Coastal plains is right. The old ocean bottom.
No, come on.
Now you are coming back to New York full of memories of your trip. But will you always remember the things that you saw? One of the ways in which you can remember is to write about the things that you saw. For instance, remember some particular place. Can you stop and think how it looked exactly? The color of the trees, the smell of the earth, and the sounds and the sights of that specific place. One assignment should be for you to write about some place that you remember very, very well. Or about some person that you remember very, very well. Don't just say we met Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, but how did they look? How did they talk? What did they say? Can you make a word picture of some part of your trip? Can you sketch with words so that people hearing your words can see what you saw, can feel what you felt? That will be one assignment on this trip.